Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Abby Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Law, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
Yes, indeed. And, well, I'm excited. I don't know about you, but it's not just because of all the beautiful cars out here. Chris Rooney, good morning, Chris.
How are we doing, Denny?
We're doing quite well, thank you very much. Chris is holding fort down at the Cicio Studios, and I do believe you have some guests to talk with this morning as well. Beautiful day, not only here, but pretty much all of the Twin Cities and surrounding area. What are we going to be doing on the show today?
Yeah, hey, this is Mr. Prasky is hiding out in Florida, so we brought some other people. He's actually enjoying his daughter for a couple days. They're in a tournament in Florida.
Uh-huh.
Same tournament that my daughter ends up going to, but
that's
for some
right.
reason I don't get to go. So
why is that?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But I brought in Bruce Adoba. Bruce Adoba is with RE/MAX Preferred. Also happens to be my brother-in-law, married to my youngest sister, and has been in real estate. How long have you been in real estate now?
15 years.
It's 15. Jeez. He came from... it's kind of interesting, actually. You came from
background... As a probation officer, yep. In the corrections field. So my running joke is I've been putting people in housing my whole career. Some has bars, some doesn't.
Yeah, there you go. But it's kind of interesting because you sold some houses to some of your past clientele.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. So you must have done good for them, helped them out, and got them on the right track.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it is. It's really interesting. We also got Darren Kirby Kyman. Can we go with Kirby? We're doing old home week here, I think. You know, Kirby, I've grown up with Kirby. Since second grade, he was my lineman. Now it's kind of like the roles have maybe switched a little. I kind of look like a lineman, but back in grade school through high school, and he's with AMEC and loan officer. So we appreciate you coming, Kerb.
Thanks for having me here.
And then we also got we're going to talk about some developments today and how developments come about. And one of the developments that we're proud to kind of be co-marketing with is in Aspen Creek in Prescott. And it's my uncle's development. And you bought the land how long ago, Dan?
In 1978.
In 1978. So, and then started developing it?
In 2003.
Yeah, and we were talking. Actually, Bruce's son graduated, and we were sitting at the graduation party. And that's another thing we can talk about, all the improvements people do at the graduation parties. They should sell their house, like, right after that.
My house was pretty much ready to go on the market.
I know.
I had a pretty long list of things I had to do.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to have to go home and paint my garage after seeing that. But anyways, so we grew up. Dan owned this property, and there's a river down there. Now, I remember it a little differently, and Dan looks at me like I'm crazy, but I remember canoeing down this river, but he's saying maybe an inner tube?
Yeah. I think so.
It seemed like a pretty darn big river to be back then. But you've kind of been developing this land over a long period of time and kind of creating it into what it is today.
Yeah. At the end of my 30-year teaching career, we had this farm for quite some time, and so... The market seemed to suggest that people would like to live out there. And so we went for it, and fortunately we hit a hot market early on.
Yeah, hit it hard.
Recession.
Yeah, and then that that's what happened to a lot of people, and a lot of developments hit that. I'm actually dealing with one, another, two of them, kind of in the South Metro area as well, that the exact same thing happened. And then what does, when you get in the middle of that, so a development, I mean, it's going gangbusters, I mean, and doing great, and I'm selling them off. I mean, you were getting an average of how much a lot back before the recession?
Well, those first 26, average of 110,000.
110,000. Now, this is in Prescott.
Right.
I mean, they're acreage parcels. I mean, it's a beautiful area, so, I mean, it makes sense to do it. But then since then, where are we now?
Well, now the asking price is an average of $58,000.
$58,000, which is, you know, and here's what happens on these developments, that people think there's something wrong, you know, and all that happened was the market shifted. And when the market shifted, then there's extra lots that sat, and then new developments came on, and so people all went to those, because what they typically do, and Bruce, you can attest to this, that once you see sticks going up, you know, and other building things, it creates the excitement. And then everyone wants to be in it. But, yeah.
Right, and timing is everything. I mean, I see opportunities like that in today's market where you can come in and buy at, you know, I mean, that's close to half the price that they were going for before. It's a good opportunity.
Yeah, but people look at it like, oh, my gosh, I don't know. There must be something wrong. And that's when the opportunities, you should grab them. That's when the people make the money.
It's the same thing that people were thinking during the recession, right? And, you know, oh, I'm afraid, what's the market going to do? Well, that ended up being the best time that people could ever buy. But a lot of people were afraid at that time.
Right. And I think another thing that people start thinking is that maybe that development's going to go under and they're going to get stuck in something that's not going to be taken care of later. But in this one, hindsight is that – you already got a lot of it out of there. And, I mean, now it's like, I mean, it's positioned really, really good. Now it's kind of like, hey, yeah, let's sell them. But it's not like it's going to go out of business.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's solid.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk a little bit about that development. And when I talk about developments, I typically look at there's a lifestyle that goes with it. You know, and sometimes, you know, lower-priced developments, you don't get as many as amenities, and then there's other developments that you're paying $300,000 to $500,000 for a lot, and you're getting a whole ton of stuff, you know. But this one is sits up real high and overlooks the whole river valley.
Yeah, it's on a bluff above the what's called Big River, about 7 miles east of Prescott, and very scenic because of the bluffs
and wildlife.
A lot of wildlife. In fact, in the last month, there's been 2 bear sightings and 1 bobcat sighting.
Bruce, you would love that.
Yeah, that's yeah, right.
It's time
up
to
my
buy
alley.
A lot.
I love that kind of land with the rolling hills and the trees, and there's a lot.
That's
of
Wisconsin
there
in
also.
General.
Right.
I mean, Wisconsin is beautiful that way.
Absolutely.
And it's all within 30 minutes driving from downtown St. Paul and 45 minutes from the airport. So it's pretty, I think, unusual to have that kind of setting that close.
Yeah.
To
oh, for
the
sure.
Metro area.
Yeah, and then, you know, and building nowadays, I mean, building prices have gone up, you know, for the sticks have gone up, and the prices in the metro area have gone up. I mean, you just take a little jog out to Wisconsin, you know, Prescott. I mean, we're just barely over the river in there, and be able to get something that, I mean, truly affordable. I mean, price ranges from?
Well, from $47,000 to $160,000.
Yeah. And that 161, I've
pretty unique.
Yeah, walked that one pretty
all
good.
All the rest are 70 and below.
Yeah, and 70,000 and below.
For that one.
Yeah, you know that's you know. So as far as covenants go and things like that, and for the listeners, covenants are restrictions that developers put on their land because typically they want a certain size house that goes on there. But what's unique about your development is that there's all different types of styles of homes.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is great. And the other thing is, I think probably one of the greatest advantages is that you're willing to take a contract for deed and people don't need to build right away.
Right, yeah. Yeah, for as little as 10% down, they can own the land and hold on to it as long as they want until they're ready to build.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, for less than $5,000 down payment, they can own the land.
Yeah. And that, I'll tell you, people, that is very unusual. That doesn't happen. But I think it's, you know, when you do get opportunities like this, and say you're looking maybe to build or downsize or get out into the country in even 5 years. You know, you can grab today's pricing and be able to, you know, pay it off as you're going and then be able to build at that time. So, Bruce, the market, I don't know, how are we doing on, this is weird when Denny's not here.
Well, I'll tell you what, let me jump in here.
Okay.
And let's do our usual break. It's okay. About that time.
It looked like that.
Very good. Call us or text us if you have any kind of a real estate question. Again, it's the same number, the phone number and the text number now. Identical, 651-989-9226. Call it in or text it in, and we'll head to this quick break. Back to the 50s weekend here at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds, the 46th annual, and we'll talk more real estate when we come back here. 70 in the Twin Cities here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back. We are happen to be, at least I am, at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds at our CCO Broadcast Center, celebrating the 46th annual Back to the 50s weekend. Meanwhile, back in downtown Minneapolis at our studios, Chris Rooney's holding fort there with his guests. Now, let's continue on it, and the whole crew. And again, if you have a real estate question, I always want to remind our listeners, we always like to field those either by phone or by text. Same number, 651-989-9226. Chris?
You know, we always kind of do real time what the market is like. And one of the things that we've been seeing a lot in multiple offer situations, Bruce, you tend to get in a lot of those that your clients are fighting for them or fighting on your listings. And there's something out there that's called an escalation clause. Why don't you kind of explain what that is, and we'll kind of talk about the goods and bads of it.
Yeah, so an escalation clause is something that's becoming more and more common in this market, especially the more affordable homes. What happens is buyers have gone through the process of making an offer previously and ended up losing out in multiple offers. So they write up language that says they will beat any other offer by a given amount. It might be $2,000 above any other offer that is presented.
What are you seeing on that? I mean, $1,000? I see 1,000. I see 2,000. We've been getting some now that have been 5,000.
Yeah, the last one I had was they would beat any other offer by 2,500. And I think the reason they want to do that is because obviously, one, they want to make their offer at least a little better, but maybe some other terms aren't as good. So they want to, even if another offer has better, more money down or a better type of financing or a closing date that works a little better, they want to still make their offer better than any other one by, you know, having a little bit of separation in price.
How about a couple things that happen on here, and I know you've been through it and so have I, that two people do the escalation clause.
Yeah, so that's an interesting scenario. If that actually happens, there should be language that's written into the escalation clause that puts a price cap on it. So if somebody writes an escalation clause, they may be willing to go over the list price by $20,000, but not beyond that. Well, if you get two escalation clauses at the same time, that essentially those escalation clauses compete against each other and they both automatically go to their cap. Which is also why it's important that there is a cap written into there, because if there's not, essentially, that price kind of goes on to infinity.
Yeah. And, you know, from a seller standpoint, I mean, I've gotten mixed reactions on it. Some are like, oh, wow, this is cool. And then some of the other ones are like, well, you know what? This other person came in with their best foot forward right now. And now all of a sudden this guy says, hey, I'll give you full price, or I'll give you $1,000 more than anyone else will give you. It's kind of one of those things. Is it really worth $1,000?
Right. And I've had sellers, too, that don't like it. And typically with the escalation clause, too, you're in a multiple offer situation when that happens. There's a clause that's written in there that says they have to provide proof of other offers subject to the buyer's review. So, you know, that can be very, you know, that can be a question, like it's kind of a contingency there. So whenever I receive an escalation clause, I automatically counter back right away with the actual price that we want to accept, so we're not actually signing off on the language on the escalation clause. We're firming in on this is the price it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you know, there's two problems that arise that I've found, and Kirby, this one's for you, is appraisal issues.
Yes, appraisals. You know, we work closely with the realtors, and you know, hopefully we have looked at comps so we can support the value when we're trying to bid higher to get it for our client. You know, but sometimes that doesn't hold true. So There has to be a line somewhere. You know, the house is worth what you're willing to pay for it, but we, when we have lending, we have to support that with what has previously sold and been recorded. And this time of the year in the hot market, you know, the recordings with the counties are behind, and it's hard to keep up with everything.
So. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, these offers are done in real time, and then appraisals are done whenever it's sold. So that might have, that other property, if we're dealing with them right now, say June 20th, you know, that other property that might have just closed the end of May, so we can use it as comp, more likely sold in March. So we're doing March pricing to June 20th pricing, and we've talked a lot on this program about pricing segments, and sometimes there's a rush on them, and then all of a sudden those prices shoot up, and that's market value. I mean, what someone's willing to sell for, what someone's willing to pay for it is market value, but it's different with the appraisal. It's based on what you're proven to the bank.
Correct. So the appraisers have to work with what the county has got currently recorded, and that's always behind, you know, usually about 60 days. So, you know, they're doing their best. They want the deals to go through, but when the values aren't being supported because the recordings are behind, it's hard for them to come up with the correct number on today's actual market price. So,
yeah, the other factor that plays into that is we're in a market where prices are increasing. So if all the recent sales comps are lower prices, how does an appraiser adjust for when now the prices are going up? And we're going to see ones that are selling more than, you know, the other homes have sold over the last 6 months.
Exactly. And a lot of our appraisals now, instead of seeing three comps, we're seeing five or six, so they can help document and support what they're coming up with.
And after the break, I know it's coming up, we can kind of talk about how to help the appraisers, you know, be able to get that bigger value. But the other part is number two, the appraisal is one problem. It's renegotiating is the second problem with escalation clauses.
All right, very good. Let's take this break. We have another half hour of the show to go. So if you can call in or text in your real estate type of question. And good morning. Welcome back to our real estate show around every Saturday in the 10 o'clock hour here on CCO. Chris is in studio with some guests, and of course, Andy, not of course, but he's gone now. Andy's going to be back. You guys going to be a team again next week, I presume?
I think we're coming back together. But Bruce is sounding pretty smart here, so
I'm
starting to wonder if it's me or if it's me or Andy goes. Yeah.
I think he called us the B team.
Well, I don't know. We'll get another doctor's opinion on that. Let's get back to the real estate. Of course, inviting our listeners to call in or text in if you have a real estate question. Chris?
Yeah, we've been talking about Aspen Creek Development, which is in Prescott, Wisconsin. Lots are ranging anywhere from $47,000 to $160,000. There's 10 left. We're doing contract for deeds on them, only 10% down. Beautiful rolling. You even get a couple bear friends and maybe even a bobcat.
Yeah.
Along with some turkeys and some...
And a class one trout stream that flows right down below.
There you go. Yeah. That, is that the one I did the cruise ship on?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. Or a canoe or maybe a little floaty thing. But anyways, we were talking about escalation clause before, and we were talking about that appraisal issues can happen, but we see a lot of renegotiating. When people start paying over full price and then they win, they immediately seem to have a regret and want to try to renegotiate. And so sometimes it happens with inspections.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's been a more and more common thing and in this market. And one of the things that we've been doing sometimes is having some actual language in the purchase agreement about what happens if the property does not appraise for this now escalated price. And we've been putting together some language that says if it doesn't appraise for that price, the buyer will agree to cover the difference in cash, which is what's needed if they're not going to be able to finance the whole amount.
Okay, Kirby, how does that affect the lender? I mean, if you see that clause in there that says, hey, if this thing doesn't appraise, so everyone's kind of thinking, hey, maybe it won't appraise, and then here's what we're going to do because of it. How does that affect not only the lender but probably the appraiser that gets those documents?
Yeah, for the lender, we have to make sure then our clients have the liquid cash to do that. So if they're going to work with their agent and write that in, you know, I want to verify that they have the cash to go above and beyond if it doesn't appraise. So there's going to be some limits that I might want to have put in there as well. And the appraisers don't know the borrower situation. So, you know, they are only looking at what they can come up with their numbers. So they're going to do their best to give you an actual true price of what they have to work with. But if the numbers aren't there, you're going to get it. And then it's up to us as the lender and the buyer to come up with the difference.
Yeah, and find a solution. And so let's talk about a couple of those solutions. So if I purchase a house, it's $350,000. It was listed at $325,000. I went $350,000. The appraisal comes back at $330,000. What are my options?
So the $20,000 difference, the borrower could pay right out of their pocket. If they were putting 10% down, we could restructure and maybe have them put 10% down. You know, that brings into play either private mortgage insurance or getting a second mortgage to cover that other 10%. So we have options there. It's when you have a borrower that is using one of the programs, putting 3% down or 5% down, and that's all the money they have, then we have an issue because they can't qualify for it. Now, we could maybe look at getting a gift if someone's available to do that for them, but that doesn't always work out. So we have to be proactive in the beginning to make sure this is all going to work in the end.
And I think there's a lot of disservice done to some buyers out there by sometimes the agents don't do that. And what I mean by that is that what we need to do, you have to think like a seller. So what a seller is thinking is that, geez, I'm getting more money for it. That's fantastic. But what if it doesn't appraise? If you can give them that solution ahead of time or say, hey, here's what we're going to do if this is the case that happens and it's a lender that ends up calling, you know, maybe that seller's agent and doing it, I'm telling you what, you've got one heck of a much better chance of getting that deal done because too many times we've dealt with where renegotiations start right away.
Right.
You know.
And that's why I think it's important also to find out up front when you're a seller accepting an offer in a multiple offer situation, what is that buyer's ability to adjust if the appraisal is lower? Because you weren't asking for that much money. Now they're offering you more than you're asking for so that they get it. But what will happen if it doesn't appraise? And if you address that question up front, then you're not in that wide open renegotiation position if the appraisal does come in low.
Right. And let's just say someone comes in, maybe you have four offers. And maybe it's that 350 and 325 scenario. And your best buyer, who's 20% down, you know, who's going to do a fast inspection period, is at 330 and the other one's at 350. You might really want to consider maybe going back to that 330 and seeing what they can do and at what price they can go to. Because it's one thing about selling the property. It's another thing about closing the property, you know.
Exactly. And as a lender, you know, that's where I need to know exactly what abilities my client has, you know, so I can give you that information. If they really want the property, we're going to figure it out.
Well, and here's the other thing is having that information ahead of time and they know, because that's what scares buyers too, is because they don't know. And so if you have a lender that actually sits down with you and explains that whole thing, understands the market and what the market is doing, you know, because these things, you're going to run into it. So if I'm showing a person houses in that 250 to 275 range south of the River Bruce, am I going to be competing against anybody else?
Yes, most of those are very competitive situations, even sometimes dependent on the condition of the property. Even if they're not in great condition, they can be very, very competitive. And I've been seeing people doing all kinds of things to make their offer better, moving closing dates up to very, very short time frames, dropping inspection at times. I mean, they're doing other things in addition to just price to help be the one who
wins. And Kirby, some people that aren't able to have down payment money or be able to pay their closing costs are also coming in and starting to do a little higher rate, right?
Exactly.
So not make the seller pay for that and then thus get the appraisal up.
Right. And that's where, you know, we can help at looking at if they took a little bit higher rate, we can help pay some of the closing costs. You know, that doesn't work if you have a client doing a down payment assistance program. The rates are fixed by them particular programs. But if it's a buyer that has their own money, we have things we can look at. And that's things that I like to discuss ahead of time so they know what they're getting into.
Down payment assistance programs, they're still around?
Yeah, there's still a few. You know, Minnesota Housing is one of the big ones that we use a lot of. It's a great program for first-time homebuyers. And actually, first-time homebuyer doesn't mean it's your first home. It means you haven't owned a primary residence in the last 3 years.
Right, exactly. So what do you get for – what is down payment assistance? How much do you get?
There's different programs, but the main program, which is a monthly payback program, you can get up to $15,000. It's set over a 10-year period, and it's the same rate as the first mortgage.
Hey, Dan, they can buy three of your lots for that on a contract for deed.
They could. Hey,
you got first-time home buyers looking in Prescott. We got you. We got you covered.
There we go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, again, we've been talking about Aspen Creek, escalation clauses, fun stuff with multiple offers, but what do you think, Dan? I know there's a little something we were kind of talking about just in the little in the break here about another little picturesque property out there in Prescott, sitting on 100 acres. Someone wants a little more land.
Yeah. My wife and I have a 100-acre farm on the Trimble River about 10 miles east of Aspen Creek, or about 15 miles east of Prescott.
Yeah.
Very scenic bluffs. The river runs through it. It right down the middle of it.
And it winds around with the roads and stuff.
It does. Yeah. And it has an older house, but it's been remodeled, and a kind of a classic old barn.
Yeah.
Over 100-year-old barn.
Well, that's what I've always wanted, is a barn. I don't know if I can – a red barn.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why. I've always wanted a red barn and then a long driveway. Anybody else? No? Yeah.
Good red barn to go with your colors of your real estate.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I could put my sign on it. So,
yeah.
Bruce, what else? What else do we got in as far as when it comes to multiple offers and what, you know, a seller should look for, and maybe what a buyer should kind of do to make it work for them?
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're like we talked a little bit about closing costs, and that's one other thing that is a factor for sellers when considering an offer. In many of the multiple offer situations, you also see buyers not asking for closing costs. And part of the reason for that is that when you are asking for closing costs, the price is usually actually a little higher to cover those. So now the home has to appraise for even a higher amount than what the seller is netting. And so I'm seeing more and more sellers ending up dropping those as well.
Yeah, you know, as a lender, you know, the client's going to come to me and they're going to have X amount of dollars to work with. And if they want to put their best offer forward, they're trying to figure out how to structure it. And, you know, getting some of the closing costs from the seller is less money out of their pocket. But also we are inflating the price if they're in multiple offers. So, again, it comes down to, you know, an appraisal issue and can we make this work? And if we can't, we have to know what our backup plan is. What is the maximum they're going to be able to make to get the deal done?
Tell you what, it's time for a break. Let's do that. Again, inviting our listeners to join in on the conversation. If you have a real estate type of question, call it in or text it in. Same number applies, 651-989-9226. And welcome back to our real estate show here on 830 WCCO. Chris is holding down there in the studio. Meanwhile, Denny Law here at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. We are having fun at the Back to the 50s weekend, the 46th annual. We were here last year and hope to be here next year, too, because this is a fun event. Meanwhile, Chris, you guys are having fun there in the studio.
Yeah, it was fun out there. We went out there last year with you and then visited all the cars, and I'm not really a car guy, but it was really, really neat.
Well, we'll have you out here next year.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Good. This is kind of like Lindis's big party that we didn't get invited to.
Yeah.
So it's getting to be a normal thing here. Yeah. All right. We got a text question. On a contract for deed, who pays the property taxes, and what happens with improvements to the lot if the buyer defaults? Interesting. So number one, on a contract for deed, it's just like you're financing with the bank. And so you would be the buyer would be responsible for the property taxes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And then how about what if someone did? What if they put they decided, hey, I want to put a bunch of trees on here?
Well, they would talk to the seller.
Yep.
In this case, me, and I would almost certainly be fine with that. However, if they were to default and the property comes back to me, the trees would stay there.
The trees would stay, yeah. On a typical contract for deed, what happens is that you have to get approval from the seller to do anything. That's a big difference between bank financing and contract for deed, because what happens is if they put the trees on there and didn't pay for them, Mr. Dan is going to end up having to pay for them.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why they do that. Again, on Aspen Creek, what do we got? What's the deal? 10% down?
Contract just 10% on a contract for deed. Yeah. And the reason people like to do that is because then they don't have to bother with a bank to get a lot loan. And then when they're ready to build their house eventually, they will roll what they owe me on the contract for deed into their construction loan and pay me off.
That's a simple process, right?
And, you know, for lenders, just to verify, you do register your contract deeds with the county, correct?
Yes.
Perfect, because that makes it easier for us so we can see that everything was legitimately done. And, yeah, when we come in with construction financing, then we would pay off that contract for deed, and that would be part of the construction part of it, which we do have one-time close programs that all comes in at the end.
Yeah, it's a fantastic property. And I'll tell you what, what's the easiest way to go find it?
Well, I'd say Google and just ask for directions to 566th Avenue, Prescott, Wisconsin. And 566th Avenue is Aspen Creek. It goes through the development. So it'll take you right there.
That's what I always tell everyone. And you don't have to have an exact address, but you say that 566th Avenue, Prescott, Wisconsin. It brings you right into it, and you got to get a good feel for it. And we also, it's all over our Facebook pages. So it's under Chris Rooney or Rooney Home Experts or our Real Estate Radio Hour 830 magazine. And then contact information is also at andyandrooney.com. Kirby, how do they get a hold of you?
The best way is my cell phone, 612-363-8221. If you do go to Amec Home Loans and put in either Darren, which is my legal name, D-A-R-I-N.
That's your name.
It is. Okay. It is. But I've gone by Kirby for many, many years. I spell it C-U-R-B-Y. So if you put that in, I am the only one in there under Kirby, and you can find me that way.
And I think people, too, I mean, that want more information. All of our shows are podcasted, and so they're always available the next day on radio.com. Bruce, info?
Yep. So I can be reached on my cell, 952-240-5381, or my last my email address, bhudoba, that's H-U-D-O-B-A, at remax.net.
Yeah. And then, Kirby, big thing now is refinancing. Rates keep continuing to fall.
Rates are coming down.
Values go up.
And values are going up. So lots of opportunities. You know, one thing that a quick story I had is a client who had come into about $100,000, tried to do a recast with his current lender.
What's a recast?
Meaning he wanted to put the $100,000 on the principal and get a new payment, and that's not something that normally gets done. You have to refinance and pay down your principal balance. In this case, he had started with a 30-year mortgage and had already paid for 4.5 years, and you know, it didn't make sense to go back to a 30-year, so we were able to get him an affordable payment and a lower rate by putting it into a 15-year mortgage. So worked out good for him in the end.
Yeah, and a 15-year, the less risk to a lender, long-term risk, the better the rates.
Correct. Shorter the rate, the better it is.
Yep, exactly. So that there's an opportunity, you know, for people that maybe still have mortgage insurance. That they might find that the values have gone up, and maybe you can cut off a bunch of years off your mortgage and maybe still keep that payment right around where it was or a little more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's a big thing. I mean, I'll tell you, I look back and I look at Jack Hadoba, who just graduated, and 15 years goes pretty darn quick.
That's for sure.
It just seems like all these kids. What do you think, Dan? I mean, since the time I took that cruise ship down that creek, now all of a sudden I can only bring energy. Yeah.
I actually lived with your parents when you were born.
And, kidding?
Was there to babysit.
Oh, no.
While I went to college.
Okay, no more stories. Hopefully the break's coming, Denny.
So maybe the cruise ship
I want to hear more. Let's hear more.
Yeah, I'm sure there's lots of good stories. So, well, good. Well, appreciate all you guys coming on. And Denny, you're going to be back in studio next week, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Most definitely, yes. Yeah. Unless, of course, I go out on a limb and buy one of these cars, which probably won't happen.
Yeah. Or maybe head over to Aspen Creek and get yourself a lot.
That
second home cabin.
Yep. That sounds very intriguing.
Yeah.
How do we find out more about that?
Well, I'll tell you what. You just, if you find all our Facebook pages and Real Estate Radio Hour 830 and a bunch of the pictures, too. We got some good aerials on there and a real nice video. So there's only 10 lots left.
Right. Yep.
Well, how about every individual, you guys in the studio, how do we get in touch with each one of you?
Yeah. We hit on it, but let's just go to andyandrooney.com.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, that's us.
Just like that. Okay.
That's us.
All right. Yeah. Well, I tell you what. Let's plan on getting together next week back in the studio where you guys are now. Should we do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thanks very much. All right. Very good. Thank you, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.